Sweet, sweet sister friend, I am so excited about season 2 of the Laced with Grace Fully Embraced podcast. I'm so excited to dive deeper into our relationship with Christ together, deeper into our love of our bodies and being grateful for the temple that God has given us to care for, to nourish, to exercise, to work out, for worship, and not just weight loss, and to really, really focus and make Him the center and the foundation, the motivation of our fitness journey. Because I truly believe if we make Him the foundation of our fitness journey, it becomes much more doable. It becomes less overwhelming. It becomes much more fulfilling. And I'm excited to grow in this with you. Let's get it. Let's go. Hey, sister friend, another week, another episode, as usual. Excited to spend some time with you. Today, I love when y'all come to me with questions or concerns or just confusion or struggle or even some pain or suffering or just things that you are wrestling with, because it gives me such great content to share with you and to like spew my heart out to you and to share information and knowledge and wisdom and all the things that the Lord has placed on my heart through the years of me being an online health and fitness coach and having that previous business and now doing the ministry. I love when y'all come to me with stuff. So please, if you ever have questions or concerns or like something that you're struggling with or things that you're trying to figure out, please, please, please message me. I may not get back to you right away. I struggle with that. And I don't have a personal assistant right now. And I've been offered, a couple different gals have reached out to me that know me and they have their own personal assistant, businesses online. And they've asked, can I work for you? And I've struggled with wondering if I should hand that off. But at the same point in time, I love that people love that it's me that's connecting with them in the inbox. I may not get to you right away. It may be weeks. It may be months. It may be a couple days. It may be a couple hours. It may be a couple minutes. But I eventually always try to get to you. And if I don't, message have just been lost. So just message me again. But I've decided that for right now, I don't really want a personal assistant in my messages, because I want to make sure that you know that it's me and that you're connecting with me, Kelsey, the actual person, the actual sister in Christ, and not someone that's not me. So anywho, message me if you have concerns, questions, or anything, because I absolutely love answering the questions, especially on the podcast, because if you are struggling with something or you have questions about something, I guarantee you there is someone else that is struggling with the exact same thing, and you are not only helping yourself when you ask me or, asking me to lean on the Lord and get information from Him or whatever resources or tools He's provided me with to find the answer for you, but you are also helping other sisters in Christ, because I'm going to share it here on the podcast. So recently I've been asked this question quite often, actually, about how because I share in my story that I used to be a binger. I used to be a restrictor when it came to my eating and my nutrition. I had a very, very unhealthy relationship with food. And I actually struggled with and went through some exercise and eating disorders earlier on in high school and then in college. And shortly into my marriage, but they didn't last for very long at all. God, delivered me from that, broke those chains. And I'm so grateful for that. But I kind of want to share how I broke that cycle. So today's topic is actually how I broke the binge and restrict prison. And honestly, that's what it is. It's a cage. It's a prison. It's something that is just continuous. It's a cycle. And it's something that I believe that the Lord can break every day, of every moment, of every time it happens, if we allow Him to. But we have to be willing to put in the work. We have to be willing to open up our hearts. We have to be willing to open up our minds. We have to be willing to open up our eyes to what He wants to reveal to us and how He wants to teach us and grow us in those ways when it comes to our nutrition and fueling our bodies well. A lot of times the binging and restriction comes with fear. I noticed through my eating disorders and my exercise disorders, I had a lot of fear of my body changing, a lot of fear of not having control, a lot of fear of not being enough, a lot of fear of not being pretty enough, a lot of fear of just failing. So fear was I noticed as the pillar or the foundation of that binge and restrict prison for me. Maybe it's not for you, but for me it was. And stress can also be another one. Emotional eating, that all kind of ties into this. But how did I stop this cycle? I'm going to go through 6 steps with you on how I stopped the binge and restrict cycle. And when I say binge and restrict, I would have periods of time where I would just binge food beyond reason because I had restricted for so long. Because what happens when we restrict foods, especially foods that we love, and we restrict them for a long period of time, not only does that cause a bad and unhealthy relationship with food in our minds, but it causes us to label foods as good food or as bad food. Y'all, food is food. Food is fuel. I've talked about this I don't know how many times, but we fuel the way we want to feel. How do you want to feel? Fuel that way. If you want to feel like garbage, that's cool. Eat garbage. Like, it's not bad or good food, but like, it's, there's nothing wrong with you enjoying foods that are here that aren't necessarily as wholesome as, you know, we should be fueling our bodies with all the time. Having those things in moderation is so healthy. And I truly believe that the Lord wants us to enjoy those things. Now, enjoying them in moderation is different than consuming them and binging them and like that being the only thing that we consume, right? We want to make sure we're caring for our temples. But I think a huge part of caring for our temples is allowing ourselves to have the things that we really, really enjoy when it comes to food. Personally, I am a big, huge fan recently of like confetti cake, anything like cake flavor. Like, I don't know what it is, but like, I've been getting confetti cake, protein bars, confetti cake, cupcake, Pop-Tarts I've had recently. Like, I don't know why, but I've like loved this confetti cake taste. And so I allow myself some of those things sometimes, and that's okay. Like, if I want half of a Pop-Tart, or if I want one Pop-Tart and I just went on a run, or if I'm about to go on a run, or if, you know, it's just the weekend and I'm just chilling and I have a rest day and I'm craving a Pop-Tart, I'm going to have the freaking Pop-Tart. Because you know what happens when you don't do that? When you don't allow yourself to have the things that you love every once in a while, then you're going to have the apple. Then you're going to have the peanut butter. Then you're going to have the rice cake. Then you're going to have some crackers. Then you're going to have some grapes. Then you're going to have some berries. Then you're going to try to eat all these other things. And really, you end up eating way more calories than what you would have if you would have just allowed yourself to have the dang cookie, or allowed yourself to have a piece of the cake, or allowed yourself to have a little bit of the ice cream, whatever it may be that is like your thing. Stop trying to force yourself from, like, there's a difference between discipline and then forcing yourself and not allowing yourself to have a little bit of the thing that you love. Okay. So let's go into this. The number one thing I did when I stopped and broke the whole binge and restrict prison that I was in is I stopped dieting altogether. I became anti-dieting, anti-dieter. I don't believe in diets. I think that they're only for temporary purposes. They will give you results temporarily, but I don't believe that they create a healthy, lifelong, sustainable lifestyle for you. And I see this over and over and over again, and it breaks my heart. If people go on these diets, they find diets that they say that work for them, and they do, they get results. But guess what? The moment they step away from that diet, the moment they start introducing different foods into their diet, into their nutrition, and they start consuming different things, is the moment they gain all the weight back. And then they're in this vicious cycle of, I am a failure, I feel defeated, I'm discouraged, nothing ever works for me, blah, blah, blah. And all these victim mentalities, we've had a podcast about victim mentalities, go back a couple episodes and you'll find the victimhood, victim mentality, okay? And learn all about that and try to break that mindset and that chain as well. But I stopped dieting because, and I, growing up, my mom actually, and we've talked about this on my interview with her, so she's okay with me sharing this, but she was on multiple diets, me growing up, and they were super restrictive. There was a lot of shakes involved. There wasn't a whole lot of real foods being involved. And then when she did introduce real foods, like, it was already prepared stuff for her sometimes. Like, she didn't really learn how to actually prepare foods herself. And it was just not something that was sustainable and lifelong and long-term. Like, it didn't make sense. And the moment, again, that she got off those things, guess what happened? She gained the weight back. And it was this discouragement cycle and this defeating cycle. And I don't want that for you. And God doesn't want that for you. He doesn't want us to be in this constant cycle of defeat and discouragement and just ick with ourselves because we can't follow through with something. He wants us to be victorious in Him. He wants us to feel good. He wants us to be confident. Obviously, Him being the source of that confidence, but He wants us to be wholesome and healthy and feeling well, okay? And taking care of our temple in that way. And I don't necessarily believe that diets are the right way to go about it. Now, if it's something that you can do lifelong, sustainably, go for it. Whole30, if that's something that you can do, or if you're doing keto, but that's something you can do lifelong. Do I necessarily agree with keto? No, I don't. But I understand that I have an open mindset that if that works for other people and that's doing really, really well for them, they need to continue doing it. Like, do what you can do sustainably and consistently and that doesn't cause your body harm. Okay. That's my big thing. Like, as long as it's healthy and it's not causing your body long-term harm, go for it. Number two, I actually adopted something. I don't diet, but I adopted something called the 80-20 lifestyle. 80-20 lifestyle, this is not a diet. This is very unrestrictive and makes me feel as though I am in control, but not in an unhealthy way, okay? Like, it's not obsessive. It's not something that's causing me to be, like, just obsessive about it. It's not like that at all. So 80-20, I talk about this a lot in my social media. I talk about this a lot in my Lace with Grace Fully Embrace community. I talk about this a lot on the podcast. 80-20, 80% wholesome foods that make me feel good, that give me energy, that make me feel sustained throughout the day, that give me the macronutrients that I need for my lifting programs or my running or all my activity level, and just help me have a strong, healthy body. 80% wholesome foods, okay? That's proteins, that's carbs, that's fats, all those healthy, and we've had the whole God-made fats, God-made proteins, and God-made carbohydrates episodes. Go back and listen to those. Those are just recent too. If you're just not listening to this episode, there are a few episodes back. Went through that whole process too. So if you want to learn more about what exactly, what are wholesome proteins? What are wholesome carbs? What are wholesome God-made fats? Like, I want to know those things. Go back and listen to those episodes. They're in the 80s, I believe, episode 80s. But the 80-20 lifestyle. So 80% wholesome, 20% fun. So this may look different for everyone, depending on where you're at in your journey. This is the other thing that we really tend to struggle with as females. And I've talked about this before. Like, people want an exact number. They want to be told exactly what to do. They want to be told exactly what to eat. That does not work because every single body is different. Everyone's activity levels are different. Everyone's preferences may be different concerning what they like to eat, what they don't like to eat. Like, I can't tell you exactly what to eat because that would not be you taking accountability of your own journey. That would be me just telling you what you needed to do all the time. And that seems like a prison too. Like, I don't want someone telling me exactly what I have to eat every single day of every day of the week. Like, I want to be able to make those own choices for me. And that's healthy. Like, you being able to make those choices and determine what you need. Guidance is one thing, but someone telling you exactly what to eat, the amount of what to eat all the time, and you not making those own decisions for yourself, I believe can be a little bit obsessive and a little bit restrictive and not create such a healthy relationship with food, and doesn't give you the autonomy, let's just use that word, autonomy and accountability in your own fitness journey. So 20% fun. For me, this is going to look like 5 days of the week, I am doing 80% of wholesome foods, and I'm making sure that things that are going into my mouth and into my stomach and that are fueling my body are something that's actually going to fuel me. They're not empty calories. They're not processed things. This is a lot of like lean proteins, a lot of vegetables, a lot of fruits, and then those healthy carbohydrate options. Okay. So I'm fueling with that. 20%, say on the weekend, I want to have pizza with my family. Okay. Or say one time a day, I'm having some chocolate, or one time a day, I'm having some ice cream. Like, it's allowing myself to have the things that I absolutely love in moderation when I want them. That's the other thing. Sometimes we eat just out of boredom. Sometimes we eat out of emotion. Sometimes we eat. That's not exactly what I'm saying. I'm not saying we should just eat out of boredom. I'm not saying we should 20% of the time. I'm not saying we should just eat. These are times. The 20% is when you are really craving something and you're like, I would really like to have that. So you give yourself a little bit of that. Like, you have it in moderation. You have a bowl of ice cream, not the whole gallon. A bowl, you have two cookies, not the whole package, but you have some, okay? And you allow yourself to enjoy the foods. French fries, that's another huge one for me. If we go through the drive-thru and my kiddos are getting something and I actually want, sometimes I don't want them. Like, yeah, they sound good, but do I really want them? Not really. Then there's other times where I'm like, I really freaking want the French fries. So I get the small fry and I eat the small fry and I have no guilt whatsoever. That is healthy. Okay. Having those things in moderation is healthy. So that's number two. I adopted the 80-20 lifestyle for myself. Number three, I ditched the punishment plan of fitness. So you're like, what does that mean? What's the punishment plan of fitness? So I stopped utilizing fitness as a way to punish my body. I stopped utilizing fitness as a way to punish myself for what I had taken in and ate that day. I used to, literally, in college, after I would do exams or after I would study at the library or after I would be in courses or classes, I would go to the gym, I would go up to the indoor track, and I would literally run for an hour and a half. I'm talking probably hundreds of laps around this track. And I'm sure the basketball teams and I'm sure anyone that was watching me down the courts or anyone that was in the gym was like, what is this girl doing? Like, it was just bizarre. Like, and I wasn't doing it because I was training for anything necessarily. I wasn't doing it because I was trying to like increase my speeds or increase my times or anything. It was literally, I solely was doing it to burn off calories. And I wasn't even hardly eating anything. That was the other thing that was super unhealthy. Like anything that went into my mouth, I thought to myself, I got to go burn that off at the gym. I got to go get on the elliptical for 2 hours and I got to burn that off. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know how to lift weights. I didn't know how to strength train. I literally didn't know what I was doing. I literally was using exercise as just a way of punishment, either for what I had put into my body or punishment for not being enough, punishment for not getting good grades, punishment for not being successful in my relationships, punishment for my parents' divorce, punishment for all these ridiculous things that the enemy just tried to push into my mind that was all my fault. I would use exercise as punishment. I would literally use it to beat myself up. That is not the mindset I want you to have with exercise. And that is not the mindset that I have it now, but I changed my mindset about fitness and movement and I ditched the punishment plan of fitness. Are you going to the gym specifically just because you had the birthday cake yesterday? Are you going to the gym to go on a treadmill or to go on the elliptical specifically because you felt like you ate too much for breakfast or because you ate too much for dinner last night or because you had too many drinks the night before? Like what is your motive there? Ask the Lord to look at the intentions of your heart and reveal them to you, because that is important, okay? That's going to be really important with breaking this whole binge and restrict prison that you've had yourself in or that you are struggling with or that you've had yourself in. Maybe you're out of it, but these are just still steps and reminders to keep you out of it, okay? Number 4, I ate more. To break the binge and restrict prison, I allowed myself and told myself, gave my permission to myself that it was okay to eat more. What happens when you restrict and binge like that? Like what happens when you restrict for a long time and you're constantly in a caloric deficit or you're not giving your body the macronutrients or the micronutrients that it actually really, really, really freaking needs? What happens? Your metabolism plummets, literally suffers. And you will create long-term damage. You will create hormonal damage. I'm not trying to scare you, but I'm just giving you the facts. You will create long-term damage to your metabolism. This is if you stay in a deficit and you don't allow yourself the things, the macronutrients and the nutrients and all the calories that your body actually needs to be able to function, you completely destroy your metabolism. I went through a period of this. After high school, after college, you know, I always had been thin. I never really gained muscle. I wonder why that is. My body didn't have the building blocks that it needed in order to gain muscle. There was nothing there for it to build on. I wasn't toned. I was just thin. And I wasn't even really that thin. My body had just kind of plateaued. You want to know why? Because my metabolism had literally suffered. By the time I had newly gotten married, again, I was not heavy. But I wasn't toning, I wasn't conditioning, I wasn't getting stronger, I wasn't feeling good. My body was always tired, I was always fatigued. I don't want to call it skinny fat, but that's the only term that's coming to my mind. Like there was nothing for my body to build on because I wasn't fueling it with anything. Okay? I wasn't giving it what it needed. You create damage when you restrict, 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 restrict. And then when you binge, you like put your system into like overload. Like then it's got to work hyper fast. Like, and if your metabolism's already struggling, how do you think that's going to work when you start binging? You know what I'm saying? Like that just creates catastrophic chaos. Like, no, your system cannot do that. We end up creating a lot of hormonal damage. And especially as women, if you start to lose your cycles, that's a huge red flag. That we need to get some help, okay? I'm just being honest with you, and I'm saying this out of love, but if you have lost your cycle, and you are struggling with your eating, you are struggling with nutrition, you are struggling with fatigue, you are struggling with not being able to get through workouts because you don't feel like you have the energy, and you're losing your cycles too, and you're not really seeming, you're gaining weight, or you're not seeming to build muscle, and there's just nothing there to build on, like, sister friend, please go get some help. And I don't just mean the physician, I mean like, Go talk to someone, reach out to someone, get someone that has some professional, I'm not certified in these things. So I can't help you there. I mean, I can give you the resources, the tools, and I can direct you in the right path maybe, but I can't necessarily help you in this specific area. I am a nurse, but the OB stuff is not my forte. I'm not a physician, so I can't like prescribe anything or anything like that, but I will direct you in the right path. Okay. So these are just red flags. make sure that if that is happening, you reach out to someone, okay? Number five, I actually did have issues with my cycle. It didn't completely stop, but it was very sporadic and it wasn't very regular. And I was very, very stubborn about all that. For your futures, like, that can cause some major issues, okay? So just be, gosh, my heart breaks that I was even in that spot, and I don't want you to be there either. Number five, this is a big one. To break my binging and restrictive prison, I started going to the Father before I went to food. So whenever I was emotional, whenever I was stressed, whenever I was feeling obsessive about my caloric intake, or whenever I was being super restrictive and I just couldn't get food off of my mind, I stopped going to the thought of food and I went to the thought of my Father. I went to prayer. Are you going to the fridge more than you're going to your Father? Some of y'all, that's gonna hit some nerves. But if you are a believer, if you are a Christ follower, if you have a relationship with Jesus, are you going to the fridge or food more than you're going to your Father? If you are stressed, if you are overwhelmed, if you are struggling, if you are in an emotional state, if you are in pain, are you going to the fridge and food more than you're going to your Father? I need you to gut check yourself right now, okay? We need to pray more. We need to pray more. We need to ask the Lord to take these struggles from us, ask the Lord to take the restriction away, ask the Lord to take our mindsets off food, but back on Him, placing Him at the center of what we're doing and everything that we're doing. We need to ask Him if we can lay this down at His feet, like literally surrender your food struggles over to the Lord, like literally say out loud, Lord, I'm giving this to you. I'm giving these temptations to you. I'm giving these restrictions to you. I'm giving this obsessive mindset to you. I'm giving this cake to you. I'm giving this pizza to you. And I'm just laying it down at your feet because I don't need it. I don't need that burden. I can't carry that burden on my own. I'm going to give it to you today and you're going to help me through this. Okay? Whenever you're feeling like you're going to restrict, whenever you're feeling like you're going to binge, whenever you're feeling those unhealthy relationships with food, those warning signs, right? Shame and guilt when it comes to food. If you are feeling that anytime you put anything into your mouth, that is a red flag. Shame and guilt. Shame and guilt is not from the Lord. That is from the enemy. Okay. Guilt. There's a healthy guilt that comes from the Lord. That's a healthy conviction that comes from the Lord. But shame, straight on shame and constant guilt, that is not from the Lord. That is from the enemy. And he's going to try to utilize that against you in your journey. Okay. Number six, I tossed the lies of the scale out. I just tossed it out. The scale used to define me. It used to define my worth. It used to define my value. It used to define my success and my progress. It no longer does. I don't even know what I weigh right now. I think the last time I weighed myself was when I was at the doctor, and that was months ago. And I just went because I had like a sinus infection and needed some antibiotics. Like, I don't weigh myself. Hardly ever. The only time I do is when I'm feeling super freaking off in my body, and it's a good data measurement. Like, it can be a good tool if we don't allow it to overtake our minds and our motivation and our discipline, which a lot of times for women, the instant we see that number, the instant we start noticing that it's going up a little bit or it's going down a little bit, do you notice how it starts to fluctuate your emotions and your discipline and your motivation and your journey? That is a red flag to toss the freaking scale out the window. You're like, but I weigh myself every day. That's how I track my progress. The scale is only one number, and it honestly doesn't even track your progress like you think it does. Our weight with females can fluctuate anywhere between 2 to 5 pounds or 3 to 5 pounds a day, back and forth. That can be because of bowel movements. That can be because of water retention. That can be because of stress or cortisol levels. Like, it's not, or muscle growth. Like, our muscles are retaining water because we've broken them down and now they're retaining water and our body's doing what it's supposed to do. What if you utilized that number and you gained a few pounds? You thought, oh, I've just destroyed everything. But really, your body is doing exactly what it's supposed to be doing. Do you understand why that number is not exactly something that you should be, you know, classifying your whole progress on, your whole journey on, like based on if you're doing well or not? A scale is one number. What I really want you to look at more so, and what I started looking at more so, was how I felt, how I was sleeping, how my clothes fit, how were my bowel movements. Like, that's super TMI. I'm a nurse, so really no TMI here. But how are my bowel movements? How is my attitude? How is my mood? Those are huge. Those are massive. What is my focus? How is my energy? Like, those things matter so much more than a freaking number on a scale, y'all. How's my confidence? How is my joy? Those things trump a number on a scale so much more. I have weighed my most and looked my best. What I mean by that is I had more muscle and more tone and more definition than I did when I was quote unquote thinner and my number was smaller. And I felt my best at my highest weight. That number does not mean a whole lot, y'all. Yes, it can be a good gauge. And especially if you're someone that has other illnesses or conditions that you need to utilize a scale concerning water retention and stuff like that. Obviously, listen to your physician when it comes to that. But don't let the scale define your progress. Don't let the scale define your journey. Don't let the number on the scale define your worth. The moment that starts happening is the moment it belongs in the trash. Because that is not who God says you are. The number on the scale is so minuscule to who God says you are, to what God says you are, to how much you matter. That number means nothing compared to that, okay? To the truth that God speaks over you and what he believes in you and how he loves you and what your worth is. That number is stupid. It's asinine. Sorry, I'm getting kind of fired up here. Anyways, those are the six things I've done to break the binge and restrict prison, okay? So number one, I stopped diets. I became anti-diet. Okay. I'm an anti-dieter, not a fan. Number two, I adopted the 80-20 lifestyle. Number three, I changed my mindset about fitness and movement and ditched the punishment plan of fitness. That's number three. Number four, I ate more. Number five, I went to the Father before I went to food and I prayed often. Okay. Number six, I tossed out the lies of the scale. There you go, my friend. That is the way that I broke my binge and restrictive prison that I had held myself in for years and years and years and struggled with for years and years and years. And the Lord delivered me from that. He broke those chains and I am so beyond grateful, but I had to be willing to put in the work. I had to be willing to have an open heart set, an open mindset, and open eyes and open ears to what he had to show me, to what he had to tell me, to what he had to reveal to me. You have to do the same. If this spoke to you today, if you have a daughter that is struggling with restrictive eating or some kind of emotional eating or eating disorders or exercise disorders, if you have a girlfriend, if you have another mom friend, if you have a coworker, if you're struggling yourself or you have other people in your life that you think that this podcast episode would resonate with and would bless and would help them and guide them, and you feel like God is placing in your heart to share it with them, please do that because you are a part of this ministry too. I can't explain enough, like, I can't do this without you. I can't do this without the Lord. I can't do this without you. You are a huge part of this. And you sharing these messages to other women aren't just blessing you, but it's blessing them. It's helping them break these chains, break these prisons, get out of these mindsets, get out of these struggles, get out of these pains, and find freedom in their fitness instead of restriction, instead of bondage. Because society and culture has created such a restriction and a bondage and idolization and all these things that are so negative when it comes to health and wellness. And that's not the way the Lord wants us to do this thing. But I need your help to get that message out there. You're doing a great job. I freaking love seeing your stories that you post. And every time when you're sharing, you know, what you've learned or what stuck out to you, like, that is phenomenal. And I don't want you ever doing that for my glory. Like, ew, ick. I don't want glory. This is all from him. This is his platform. This is his podcast. My social media sites are his. He calls the name of the game. Like, he calls the shots. So, all for God's glory. I'm so excited to continue to grow with you, to continue doing this thing with you, to continue growing in our relationship with Christ and finding freedom in fitness and viewing ourselves and viewing our bodies as temples and gifts that they are. I love you so much. Sister, let's get it. Let's go.